Hi, this is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. There's a couple things I wanted to get done right off the bat, and they were, as I promised in the last podcast, to get the right numbers to you for crisis and or the national suicide hotline. And I was right about the crisis text number. It is 741-741. Text home to that, and I actually tried it. With a disclaimer on the bottom of it, letting them know that it was not an actual crisis. And it took a little under 3 minutes for them to get a crisis counselor on the text line with me, which is pretty good. And the National Suicide Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. I did not call that number because with it being Memorial Day weekend and all, that hotline might actually be busy AF. So I didn't want to get into a queue and not be able to get out of it and then have them worry that I hung up because I was actually committing suicide. So I don't actually know how well that line works, but there are the numbers just in case you need them. And of course, if you are in that much of a dangerous situation, you can always call your local 911. And they will send emergency personnel out to help you with whatever the situation is that you are enduring at that time. So again, 741-741 home for confidential chat, 1-800-273-8255 for the National Suicide Hotline, and 911 for immediate emergencies that just cannot wait to be talked about. Okay, so we got that down. So what I wanted to talk about this week was my week, actually, which was pretty much super busy for me anyway. Tuesday was therapy, in which my therapist was a little concerning to me, actually, because as soon as I saw him, I was like, "So what's going on with you? Something's not quite right." And he's like, "I'm stressed." And it's like, "Oh crap," you know, and that immediately set my anxiety off a little bit. And we get into his office, and I'm like, I sit down and try to make light of it. And I'm like, "So, what do you want to talk about this week?" And he broke a smile, but there was definitely something that was on his mind, and he wasn't fully there, which, you know, happens. He's human too. And we had a good session, you know, pretty much, because I can jibber jabber the whole hour and basically say nothing, but, you know, I always effectively use my session. And what did we talk about this week? Oh, well, we talked about this podcast and we talked about the fact that I am being interviewed. Well, I already did do the interview with our local paper, which will be published on Tuesday after Memorial Day. And I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know how it's going to be written, but the lady said that she did hope to do well by me. So I'm pretty sure that it's going to be an amazing article. And I'm in the paper. Woohoo! Right? Even if it's the suckiest paper in the world, I made the paper because due to the podcast. So again, thanks to all of you who listened to this and hopefully laugh along with me and feel my pain when I am in those moments. Wednesday, I had my wonderful self-esteem group, which, you know, I guess I'm getting used to it and I'm getting used to the not so intellectual part of it. You know, I don't know what I expected going into it. So I'm giving it a pretty wide berth, you know, and letting it just be what it is. And if I am the smartest one in the room, oh, so be it, you know, and that sounds really judgmental. I know it does. However, if the shoe fits, wear it, as Hobson would say, right? But I also was told that I too can become a peer advisor, I think is what they call it. A 2-day training class, and I too can run a group, which is funny because it actually comes upon the fact that I already ordered materials regarding human rights and mental illness, which I hate that term mental illness. I'd rather just say mental health issues, but this one actually is human rights and mental illness. And I already ordered it in hopes that I would be able to use it either at, I don't know if I can say the name of where I go, at my behavioral health place or at a local church, which is seeking different ministries, and I think a mental health angle within the church, right, could be pretty interesting. And we all got something, and just because you're a Christian or a hoping to be Christian or a non-practicing Christian doesn't mean that mental health issues don't fall into play with you. And if you can't admit that you have mental health issues, quite possibly this class or this course, or I mean, it's a books and DVDs and CDs and the whole nine yards, so it's pretty encompassing. Again, I haven't received it yet, so I don't exactly know what is in it, but I was excited enough to order it when I found it because I was like, oh my God, I just went down the rabbit hole and look at what I found. Because as you know, those that have been listening since the first podcast, that my whole hope here is to just give advocacy and a face, well, actually a voice to mental health people, people with mental health problems, and to kind of combine the two of them. So when I found this, it was like, oh my gosh, look at this, the holy grail of what I'm looking for. So I was excited by that. Let's see. And what happened Thursday? Oh, Thursday I got to see my telemed, whom I actually really enjoy him. Again, I can't give his name out, but he is pretty much amazing. And when I told him about the podcast and how well it's doing, he was like, so I get a signed first edition copy of your book when you write it? And I was like, what book? Right? Like, what book? I'm doing podcasts. I never said anything about writing, but I actually did mention to him when I was impatient both the first and second times that I did want to do this advocacy and that my venue of choice would be writing. Well, I guess my venue of choice now has become the podcast, and the writing has taken a bit of a back burner. But when he said that, it made me smile. Because it's like, here's this guy that's prescribing my medication to me and basically keeping me on track, and he has enough faith in me and belief in me that he thinks that I could write a whole book, which I could. It's not like I'm incapable of writing. It's just I've never been spurred on by somebody that I respect so much to do that. But you know what? It's in my head. It's rambling around up there. So we'll see what happens. That could be the next thing. So what I really wanted to talk about was that during the interview, my diagnose how I be how I got my diagnoses and how long ago it happened and what brought it on came up in the interview. And I thought that maybe it is time to, just give you guys a little bit more information about how I got to where I am now. So we'll talk about my first real suicide success. Happened about 14 years ago, somewhere around there, 14-ish years ago. And what I did was I overdosed on 162 trazodone and successfully died. Or if I didn't die, it was a near-death experience with a self-induced coma. I didn't do it in a hospital, so I don't have any of the like true facts that I flatlined. However, I woke up 3 days later in a pool of my own loss of fluids, I guess is a nice way to put it, lying in muck. How about that? And I did experience the whole tunnel situation and the voices. And the odd thing about my suicide success, as I'll put it, not like, hey, I successfully killed myself, but more like, hey, I successfully got a second chance at one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life. Anyway, where was I going with that? So I really feel as if I died, because when I came back into my body, it was the most painful experience I have ever had. Over childbirth and over all the gallbladder stuff that I went through recently, and over broken wrist, over any pain I've ever been through. But what the point of this is that when I died and I went through the beautiful tunnel and I came into this place of just serene, peaceful, it's just hard to explain. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful place to be. And with all the pain that I had been enduring prior to that, and all the mental agony and anguish that I'd been living through, this place was literally heaven. And maybe it was heaven, I don't know. But I was one of those few people who was given a choice. I was told I could stay or I could go back to make it right. Well, I guess it's obvious which choice I took. And shortly after that, I moved from Connecticut to Arizona and changed my complete lifestyle and have really been trying to make it right without actually knowing what that direction was supposed to be for me. So as when I came to Arizona, and as soon as I got off the grid and moved into town, so to speak, I really focused on what that meant. So, you know, I did things with kids. I did VBS. I taught Sunday school, Saturday night school, actually, at the church I was attending at the time. I volunteered at my local food kitchen. I volunteered at the Veterans Village, which I've mentioned before. I took kids under my wings and did my best to mentor them. I talked to people. I helped random people. I did things with the homeless. I volunteered at our local Salvation Army. And I did all of these things trying to figure out what it was to make it right and if I was doing right by society. Well, after my last hospitalization, actually after both of my hospitalizations, the one in December and the one 5 weeks ago, I knew that suicide had to have something to do with it. And, you know, the whole mental illness, mental health situations had to be addressed. And I really actually think that that is what my journey is to make it right, is to try to end suicide, this suicide pandemic that seems to be happening, and to help people realize that people with mental health issues are not what they have been brought to be in the movies or in horror novels or what the society wants to believe of us. The stigmatization of us people with mental health issues, of which is a whole lot higher percentage than any of us realize. And no, I didn't look up stats because I just do this raw. So I don't actually know what's going to come out of my mouth until it's coming out of my mouth. So no, I didn't do any kind of statistical, empirical, you know, theory on this. However, I do know that everybody in society has something, and it may be very lowbrow or it may be kind of higher, like, you know, mine when I go into my paranoia, hallucination, delusional type thing, my psychoses, which only happen when I'm not on medication, which I am still taking my medication diligently every day. But when I came out of that suicide back east, you know, and my dog was there and his fur was pelted with tears as he had been crying the whole time, I'm not so sure that he wasn't what brought me out of that. But make it right, make it right, make it right. It's been in my head since that time. And I think that this is what my calling is, to make it right via this podcast and whatever comes through it. So I don't have too much else to say right now. My week was, you know, pretty good. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. Could always be better, right? But it is what it is, and it went pretty good. So I'm going to end it there. And I gave you guys the numbers that I promised I was going to give you last time. Everybody have a happy and safe Memorial Day weekend. If you're going to drink, please don't drive. And if you feel overwhelmed and in crisis mode, use the numbers that I gave you at the beginning of this podcast. And if you can't find the podcast for some strange reason, look them up. The National Suicide Hotline also does have a chat line, but they don't have a phone number for it. It's not like a text-in number. So, you know, use the resources that you can to get help. And everybody, stay alive this weekend. This is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. Have a good one, everyone.